wonderful presentation of a wonderful song. Happy Mother's Day. Yes, and the children. I'm always behind on that one. Some second graders were asked the following questions about why God made mothers. Why did God make mothers? One child said, mostly to clean the house. Another said, to help us get out of there when we were getting born. How did God make mothers? Well, God made my mom just like the same way he made me. He just used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? Well, they had to get their start from men's bones, and then they used mostly string, I think. If you ever feel strung out, ladies, now you know why. Why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. What kind of little girl was your mom? I don't know, because I wasn't there, but my guess would be pretty bossy. Another child said, they say she used to be nice. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? Well, she had to know his background, like, is he a crook? Does he make at least $800 a year? Why did your mom marry your dad? Well, my grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on that day. Who's the boss at your house? Well, I guess mom is, but only because she has a lot more to do than dad does. What's the difference between moms and dads? Moms work at work and work at home, and dads just go to work at work. Another child said, moms have magic. They make you feel better without medicine. Yeah. What does your mom do in her spare time? One child said, mothers don't do spare time. What would it take to make your mom perfect? Well, on the inside, she's already perfect. On the outside, maybe some plastic surgery. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Well, she has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. Another said, I'd like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on the back of her head. Well, happy Mother's Day, moms. I'd like to share a message with you today about praying for your children. Nothing more dear and precious to you than your children. One of the greatest things that you as a mom and we as parents can do for our children is to pray for them. Let me read to you a quote from Pastor John Piper. He said this. He said, when you pause to consider that God is infinitely strong and can do all that he pleases, God is infinitely strong, is he not? And that he is infinitely righteous, so that he only does what is right. And that he is infinitely good, so that everything that he does is perfectly good. And that he is infinitely wise, so that he always knows perfectly what is right and good. And infinitely loving, so that everything that he does is out of a heart of infinite love. When you pause to consider this, then the lavish invitations of this God to ask him for good things with the promise that he will hear and give them is unimaginably wonderful. Let me give you one example of a lavish invitation to God's people to pray. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. This is in your little message outline. Jesus speaking these words. He said, ask. And the word is expressed in such a way as to indicate we are to ask and to keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Dad, thanks for the bread this morning. It's a little hard to chew. I think it's grinding my teeth down to the bone. We wouldn't do that. Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake. Here, son, try this rattlesnake for breakfast this morning. If you then, he says, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? How much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts out of his loving heart to those who ask him? Three times in this brief passage, Jesus invites us to pray, expresses it in different ways, to ask it or to seek, to knock. I think he uses the repetition to really bring his point home in the strongest manner possible. He's saying, I really want you to listen to what I'm saying because I'm speaking to you truth. I'm not giving you false hope or false information. I'm speaking that which is divinely true. Ask, seek, knock may indicate a crescendo of intensity in our praying as we are to persist in our prayers, we are to persevere in our praying. And it just leads us to pray with more intensity as we have to continue to seek God for those things that we would ask of him. Note the promises that are attached to the commands of Jesus to pray. I'm going to read back through this and identify and number these promises for you. Ask, he says, promise number one, and it will be given to you. Seek, promise number two, you will find. Knock, promise number three, it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks, promise number four, receives, and the one who seeks, promise number five, finds, and to the one who knocks, promise number six, it will be opened to them. And then at the end of verse 11b, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Seven promises. Again, Jesus is saying, I don't want you to miss the importance of prayer, the urgency of prayer, and the fact that my Heavenly Father, when you pray, he hears and he responds to your heart cries. He gives us promise after promise of his intention to respond to our prayers. And then in verse 8, just note the word everyone. He's speaking there of everyone in a relationship with God through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God isn't our Father until first Jesus is our Son, but once we've opened our hearts to receive Jesus, God's Son, into our hearts, then we're brought into a deep, meaningful, stable relationship with God the Father. And so the point that Jesus makes in these brief words very simply is to pray. Pray. Take prayer seriously. Don't be flippant about prayer in your life. It is not in vain. The Father delights to hear the prayers of his people and promises to respond in his way, according to his will, in his timing, and for his glory. A lot of times we get our selfishness wrapped up in the way in which we pray. So as we pray, we must do so in a spirit of humility and submission to the Father and to his will. Well, today, I would like for parents, and I think this applies to grandparents as well, to hear this word of Jesus as an urgent call to pray without ceasing for your child, your children, or your grandchildren. You know, parents do a lot of wonderful things for their children, labor them into the world. I remember when my wife labored our children into the world. We took Lamaze classes back in that day, and they coached dads as to what to do in the labor and delivery room, and Shirley went into labor, and I started coaching her to keep her calm and focused. The first thing I said was, as I looked at the monitor and I saw a contraction coming on, I said, "Don't focus on the pain." She looked at me and said, "Don't use that word." So I had to back off my coaching responsibilities. All that training went into the trash can, and I turned it over to the attending nurse, and she did a great job. There were some other words spoken in that delivery moment that I won't mention this morning, but it's a very intense time. You labor them into this world. You love them. You care for them. House them, shelter them when they're babies. You feed them and diaper them and burp them and clean up after them. And you read books to them and play with them. And I mean, it's a lengthy list of things that parents are called upon to do to be responsible and loving towards their children to make sure that they're properly cared for. But today, I think the main thing, the essential thing of all the things that parents do, the essential thing is to give high priority to this matter of praying for your children, to ask and to seek and to knock at the very throne of heaven on behalf of your child with the assurance that as you do so and faithfully do so, that God will respond by lavishing, by pouring out good things upon the lives of your children. That's what you desire for them, is it not, above all else, that the Heavenly Father would lavish good things upon their lives. Well, as we think about praying for our children, then let me just simply raise three questions and attempt to answer them on the basis of Scripture. The first question is this, it's in your outline, why is praying for your children so important? And let me just give you three reasons. I think you're well aware of these, but just to bring these three reasons to the forefront of our thinking and to think of these three things, especially in relationship to our children. Our children face three battlefronts. Every single child faces three battlefronts. Our children have an external foe. He has a name identified in Scripture by Satan. He is given other names, but he is a devilish, demonic, spiritual being who is bent upon the destruction of all of God's creation, including our children. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Be alert. Your enemy, you have an enemy. If you're a follower of Christ, you have an adversary, an enemy. You are in the crosshairs of his scope. Your enemy, the devil, he says, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. We were at the Riverbanks Zoo not too long ago, and the lion that day was in a mood and was roaring. And I had never heard, actually in person, a lion roar, but it was thunderous. The creature so powerful, so intimidating. I know why they call it the king of the jungle. Overwhelming in its roar. And this is the picture that Peter uses to warn us of the dangers of our arch enemy, the devil. He delights to devour children. We see that in the Old Testament. We see that in the New Testament. Satan is alive and well today. He wages war against our children. We could talk about abortion. Since 1973, in our own country, over 60 million children aborted, their lives taken from them. Child abuse. 5 children die daily in our country from neglect or abuse. Our culture is flooded with pornography that is so readily available to our children if we're not careful. The average age of first exposure to pornography, boys, it's age 13, girls, it's age 14. We continue to hear about school shootings that take place. Anxiety levels among children is off the scale. Listen to this quote. The average child today shows the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the 1950s. College freshmen report all-time lows in terms of mental health and emotional stability. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. Satan's agenda is very clear. He comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. He is on a warpath today. He seeks to capture the minds and the hearts, the souls, the lives of our children. Parents, if there was a convicted sex offender in your neighborhood and that sex offender was stalking your child, would you be alarmed? Would you be alert? Would you be on your guard? Would you take every precaution to make sure that that person never comes close to your child? Absolutely, you would. Well, there is a spiritual predator that has your child in view, and we've already identified this spiritual predator and his agenda and his intent to steal the life, the soul of your child, to kill any sense of morality in your child, to kill, to steal, to destroy the life of that youngster. Serious matters that we're talking about here today as we think about our precious children and of all of the things that they need from their parents. That one essential thing: they need spiritual protection, they need spiritual coverage, they need to be prayed over on a consistent basis. They need the protective power of God to abide upon them. Ephesians 6 and verse 18 says this. Ephesians 6 is the warfare chapter in Scripture. Paul says in conclusion of his thoughts about spiritual warfare, he says, pray. That's where the battlefield is. He says, pray. How? He says, in the Spirit, with the help of the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and petitions, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of the saints, and I would add especially your children. An external foe identified in Scripture as Satan. Well, moving on, Satan also has an internal ally, and that is the sin nature in your child. You know, when a child is born, you might think, well, this precious thing certainly couldn't have a sinful nature. I mean, at that age, but you learn very quickly that sinful nature is indeed present. David in Psalm 51 says this, that he was sinful from birth. He was sinful from the time my mother conceived me, is what he said. So his sin nature stretches all the way back to the moment of his conception. That's pretty early, is it not? And it stays with us throughout all of life. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So every child has a sin nature. That sin nature is one in mind and heart with the evil one and his agenda and what he hopes to accomplish in the lives of our children. We didn't have to teach our children how to sin. They figured that out on their own. We didn't have to teach them how to be selfish. We didn't have to teach them how to take toys from other children. We didn't have to teach them about all the bad habits in life that they developed. We didn't have to teach them to respond negatively to the word no. They just seemed to know how to do that and when to do that. So the point being very simply that Satan's external ally or his internal ally is the sin nature in your child. Well, let me mention one other battlefront in the life of a child. Satan's external ally is the world. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, John makes a stunning statement. He says, the whole world is under the power and control of the evil one. That's the world in which we live. You think about it, it makes sense. There's so much chaos in our world. And there's the reason that there's so much chaos in our world. There are demonic powers that are at work to subvert the creation of God. And they work relentlessly and powerfully. We see those powers at work in American culture today. There's a culture out there that is actively seeking to capture the mind, the heart, and the will and the life of your child. In American culture today, it seems that biblical authority has largely been rejected, that biblical morality has been turned on its head. Churches are declining today. Many families are dysfunctional. Seems that our neighborhoods are no longer safe. Our schools don't appear to be safe. Marriage has been redefined. Gender distinctions have been erased. The institutions of marriage and family are constantly under attack. In our culture, truth is relative. There is no absolute truth. So they say that what is true for you may not be true for me. What's true for me may not be true for you. That you decide your own truth. And of course, the end result of that is chaos and lawlessness, which we have so much of in our culture today. Well, I'm just trying to help us understand that when it comes to the matter of raising our children, that we need divine help. We need the help of the Lord, who is the one who is powerful over all of these things. It is the Lord our God, who is the one who can bring aid and help instantly into the lives of our children when help is needed. It is the Lord our God. So we need to pray. So a second question I would raise for us today is this: how can we pray effectively for our children? Let me give you a very simple prayer strategy. This is in your notes, a couple of fill in the blanks. Pray selective scripture passages over your child on a consistent basis. Pray selected scripture passages over your child on a consistent basis. You say, why is that important? For this reason, the next statement: when you pray the word of God, you pray the will of God. When you pray the word of God over the life of your child, you are praying the will of God over the life of that child. You say, well, why is that important? Well, look at the verse that I've given you here out of 1 John chapter 5. John says, this is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, pray the word of God, pray the will of God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. There's God's promise to his people that as we pray, that when we pray within the scope of the will of God, that he hears and he responds, he gives, he acts accordingly. That's why we need to pray the word of God, because when we pray the word of God over our children, we have the assurance that we are praying over them the will of God. Well, one final question: what passages would be pertinent to pray for our children? And really what I would suggest that parents do is that you develop a prayer strategy for each of your children. You've noticed that each of your children is different. God makes one, then he breaks the mold. There are no two that are alike. And so you need to know your child and then pray over that child accordingly. There are ample scriptures that fit the precise needs of each child. And so develop a prayer list. I've given you a list of scriptures to consider as you would think about scripture to pray over your children. Let me just run through these very quickly. Pray that they would come to know Christ as a Savior early in their lives. You want them to know Jesus, do you not? And so you pray toward that end, and I've given you a scripture here that speaks of God our Savior who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. You just lift that before the throne of grace. Lord, I'm praying today over my son John, and he doesn't know you yet, but Father God, you go on record in your word to say that you desire that he would know you, that he would turn to you as Lord and Savior. So I ask that you just pour out the Holy Spirit of conviction upon his young heart and help him to come to an awareness of his need for you, and that he would truly repent of his sin and humility, submit his life to you and follow you and love you and serve you. Oh God, that is my heart's desire for John, and I know it's your desire as well. Just praying scripture over your children. Second, that they would love God. They would love God with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength and love their neighbor as themselves. You would just lay that scripture out before the Father and pray those words, those specific words over your child, that they would have a passion for God's glory. Paul says, so whether you eat or drink and whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Oh God, that my child would have a passion to know you and love you and would know your glory and would bask in your glory and would treasure that glory and thrive in the glory of God and reflect the glory of God in and through his or her life. Just crying out to God on the basis of scripture, the will of God, that it be done in the life of that youngster. That that child have a hatred of sin. Romans 12:9 says, hate what is evil. God, put that kind of hate in the life of my son, my daughter, for sin, for evil, for that which is potentially so destructive in their lives. God, that when they come into contact with it, that they would be repulsed and would turn away from that and would run and flee into your arms and into our arms as loving parents. That they would hate sin, that they would be caught when guilty of wrongdoing. Proverbs, he who conceals his sins doesn't prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces him finds mercy. We pray this diligently over our children. Our son, when he was in high school, went to Blythewood High School, and during his time there, I was pastor of a local church, and our church had a men's ministry. And one of the tasks of our men's ministry was to keep the road in front of our church, to keep the litter picked up. And so about two or three times a year, we would gather and put on our bright yellow vests so nobody would run over us. As we were out near the road picking up trash, and we would kind of make our way up and down the road in front of the church and collect trash. Actually, kind of a refreshing thing to do, to be with other men and to have something to do together and enjoy God's creation. Well, I saw a piece of paper over in the woods, and so I made my way through some brush to pick up that piece of paper. It was white. Letter-sized piece of paper. It kind of stood out. And when I picked it up, normally when I would pick up the trash, I would just put it in a bag. I wouldn't look at it. But for some reason, I decided to look at it. And I noticed it had Blythewood High School at the top. And looked a little further, it was a report that a student was given to take home to mom and dad to look at, of the previous, I think, 9 weeks academic accomplishments or lacks thereof. And I was a little more curious, and I looked at the name, and I noticed the last name on the report that the student had not taken home, trying to pull the wool over mom and dad's eyes so that they couldn't see the report. I noticed the last name was Newman. And I looked further, And the name was Jeremy Benjamin Newman. I thought, well, that's the name of my son. Could this possibly be his grade report? And lo and behold, it sure was. So I took that home, and we had a good laugh and some discussion. And our son was always amazed. How do you all always know what I'm into, what I'm doing, what I shouldn't be doing, where I am, et cetera, et cetera? It's because we prayed over our children that when they did something wrong, that they would be held accountable for it. And God blessed those prayers. Number six, protected from Satan in every area of their lives. Jesus prayed over his disciples. You could pray over your children. Protect them from the evil one, Lord. Protect them that they would respect people in authority, Romans 13. That they would desire and have the right kinds of friends. You know how critically important that is. 1 Corinthians 15 reminds us that bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. You want your children to have the right kind of friends and to be the right kind of friend. Number nine, to remain pure for their future mate. Scripture is given there that they would marry the right person. That's important. That they would give themselves fully to Christ. Oh, that you would pray that over your child on a consistent basis. Oh, God, that my child would love you and would be willing to do what Paul says there in Romans 12, to present himself, herself to you as a living sacrifice. And not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of his mind, her mind, so that my child might know and experience the good and the perfect will of God in life. That's what I desire, Lord. That's what you desire. Oh, God, as I pray by your Spirit, make this a reality in the life of my child. Number 12, hedged in so that they cannot find their way to wrong people and vice versa. Number 13, be inclined toward God's word. Safety on school campuses, to have a heart for God and his kingdom and his church. People are leaving our churches, and young people leaving our churches in droves. Oh, that you would pray over the life of your child, that my child would, Lord, have a deep love for you and understand the purpose, the nature, the mission, the importance of the church in this world, and would be involved in the church and would love the church and support the church and serve you through the life of the church. Oh God, that you would give my child that kind of heart for you. So pouring out our hearts to God in prayer based on Scripture with regard to the lives of our children. Paul says it in Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. I tend to think that it is, but it's not. But against rulers, powers, authorities, spiritual forces of wickedness in dark places. That is the true enemy. How do you combat that enemy? With the strength of God, which is released as the people of God pray, and pray in the Spirit, and pray on all occasions, and pray with all kinds of prayers and petitions, remaining alert. The devil is on the prowl. He's seeking someone to devour. He's coming after our children, praying that God would intervene and interrupt the intentions of the enemy, and that God would keep our children safe and protected in his love, in his care, for his glory. We do a lot for our kids because we love them. We want to see them prosper. Don't neglect the most critical and important thing that we as parents and grandparents need to do for our children, and that is to love them by praying for them based on Scripture and on a consistent basis with the assurance that when we pray, God will lavish good things upon their lives. Let's pray together. And, Father, thank you for these moments to share together. And God, would you burden our hearts today to be mindful to pray, whether we're parents, grandparents, whether we're members of this church and know the children, that we would have, all of us, Lord, a burden for their hearts and would pray for them, pray for their welfare, pray for the goodness of God to follow them all the days of their lives. Lord, we just close our service today in a spirit of submission to your Lordship, and we love you so much. Thank you for our worship experience. Jesus, we offer our prayer in your name. Amen.